be referencing all the time. Joy is a lot different than just being happy. When you're in the world, you can be happy, but happy is temporary. Joy is not predicated, and you always hear me say this, but it's not predicated on what you're going through. Sister Maria, joy is not predicated on what you're going through. Amen. I want to ask you, joy is not predicated on what you're going through. Amen. Sister Tinsley, joy is not predicated on what you're going through. Sister Narae, joy is not predicated on what you're going through. Amen. Joy comes from the Lord. So whatever you're going through, amen, if God gives you joy, if you allow Him, you can still worship, you can still give Him the glory, you can still be even happy. Amen. And you can praise the Lord through your darkest moments. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. If you know the song, you're going to help us sing this one tonight. but we clap our hands for Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. How many really have joy deep down in their soul?
Amen.
How many have joy? Simon said there's a tremendous difference between happiness and joy. How many have joy deep down, deep in their soul? A few weeks ago, we went over the word joy. If you look at the pictograph, the original language for joy, it means to be in God's presence. So whenever you think about joy, you just realize that you're in God's presence. Amen. The pentagram for joy is walking through the door into the presence of God. That's real joy. How many know that's joy? Scripture says joy unspeakable and full of glory. So truly we do thank God today for once again being in the house of prayer. We thank God for my wife. Continue to bless her. My wife, help us friends. We thank God for our visitor. Amen. We thank God for seeing Sister Laurie back. Amen. Amen. They went on a hiatus to Haiti for a while, so we bless the Lord. We thank God for bringing them safely back. I don't know what kind of job Sister Alexis got. I want that kind of job. I can go away for a whole month and come back and still have a job, but nevertheless, that's a serious good job.
Amen.
So we thank God that He brought her back safely over there, and she's here. We thank God for seeing Sister Maria and Brother Janai. We know that they are really going through it this time with their grandmother. Amen. But I remember the one time I went to see her, she said she's looking for the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Not the Jerusalem. Yeah, she's looking for that new Jerusalem.
Yes.
Where there'll be no more crying.
Yes.
Be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. So sometimes I know my mother, sometimes loved ones can keep you here longer than you want to be here. All right? Amen. But sometimes, especially when there's suffering, you got to say, God, say, Lord, have your way.
Yes.
And live with the memories. Amen. That was a hard thing to let go. But we finally had to do that with my mother. Because every time my mother looked like she was going, she was about to pass from time to eternity, we'd get together and pray and bring her back. And I remember the one time that we brought her back, she said, I just felt like I was on the playground. She said, I was there with your father and everything was just so peaceful. And she said, all I could see was a bright light. Amen.
Yes.
I think that was the last time we prayed for God to bring her back. After that, we left her alone. Because it's better to be in the presence of the Lord than in this world. Amen. But it takes faithfulness to God to get in the presence of the Lord. So we just thank God once again for blessing them. Amen. I know Minister Simon, Sister Jasmine, the whole family. We're still wrestling with justice being with the presence of the Lord, but you know He's in a better place.
Yes.
Amen. But it doesn't change the impact of our emotions for still missing Him. My mother passed in 2000, my father in 2013, but it's still like every day I still feel their presence. And I still talk to them. I ain't talking about that satanic stuff. I ain't talking about calling nothing from the dead. I'm just talking about the memories. You know, the other day I was saying, thank you, Lord, for my parents, because they instilled God in me. Amen. If they couldn't give me anything else, I thank God for my parents, because they instilled God in me. And I'm not here today because I did so well and I did everything so right, but I'm here today because God is a keeper. How many know we serve a God as a keeper?
Yes, sir.
So I just thank God for that. Amen. I just want to remind us of our theme for this year. Also, for this bishop being called, his mother's homegoing service was on Friday. I did text him and I said, Bishop, we're praying for you that God brings you through this. His mother was 93 years old. And I said, you know, the church is praying that God gives you great grace. But on purpose, I wasn't going to bother him. His mother was popular and he had a lot of family members, but late Friday evening, he called. He said, make sure you let tell the saints and let the saints know. I said, thank you for praying. I said, let the saints know. I said, thank you for praying. He said, I didn't realize how hard it was going to be to bury my mother until I got to the graveyard. She said, but the prayers got me through. He said, it was not easy, but God got me through. So saints, he said, thank you for your prayers. And it's so important that we realize the power of prayer. When we're going through stuff, don't try to handle it by yourself. The Bible said we ought to pray what? One for another. Amen. When one suffer, we all suffer. When one rejoice, we all rejoice. That means that the body of Christ are all intertwined. We're interwoven. We're all together. It means the body of Christ is dependent and not independent. So we all need each other. Amen. No matter how high you get on your spiritual realm, no matter what your spiritual height is, you still need the saints. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. So we just want to be mindful of our theme for this year. Amen. Sister Lexi, can you pull it up? Okay. Our theme for this year again is trust in the Lord and can we read this together? We want this to become a part of us. You know, sometimes there are some models and some things we say just to be cliches. But we say this because we want to give God all of us. Amen. The Bible said we have to love the Lord with all our hearts, all our souls, all our mind, all our strength. You know what that encompasses? That's everything about you. We're supposed to love the Lord with all. So once again, trust in the Lord.
And give him all of you.
Now, are you giving him all of you? Amen. What I like about God is if we're not giving him all of us, God gives us the opportunity to right our wrongs. Isn't it wonderful to know we serve a merciful God? Amen. The Bible says God loves us so much that even when we're backslidden, God is still married to us. God's not like a man or a woman, you mess up and they divorce you in a heartbeat. But God said, even in your mess up, I'm still covenantly related to you. Covenantly, I'm still bound to you. Even in your mess up, there ain't too many people in this world. When you mess up, and we're covenantly, that means no matter what you do, I still love you. It's an unconditional love. In your mess up, God said, I still love you. Even though you turned your back on me, God said, I'm still here and I still love you. He said, I'm waiting for you to come back. Isn't that a wonderful God that we serve? And I'm sure a lot of us have been saved for a long time, but a lot of us had some low moments, some low points, where we just didn't know where to turn or who to turn to. But aren't you so glad that when you finally turned around, the Lord was standing right there to receive you with open arms. In spite of all of you done, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. There's a song that says, God looked beyond all of our faults, and he saw our needs. So this morning, I'm just glad to know God for who he is. Not for what God has done for me, because of who he is. Because of who God is, that means he does everything. I don't love him because he does everything. I love God because of who he is. And the Bible said that character of God is unchanging. Amen. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's immutable. His promises are without fail. Even in our mess ups. Anybody that's a mess up? Can you think of how much God loved us? And in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, I'm going to stay here for a minute because God put it on me, so I ain't going to leave. In the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, he said, even though you messed up, your sins and your iniquities, I don't remember them anymore. Only God. How can we say only God? You know why we can say only God? Because when other people, you messed up, every time you see them, they remind you of the mess up. Lord, thank you. Can we just say hallelujah? God said, when you mess up and you come back to me, he said, I don't even remember it anymore. He said, I place that in the sea of forgetfulness. And unfortunately, saints aren't God. They remember a whole lot of stuff. They remember too much. But God said, your sins and your iniquities, I remember no more. And the psalmist said, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, because God forgives us. So let us stand. Amen. Let us stand. Today, I'm just glad to know God for who he is. And because of who God is, I have everything I need. Because of who God is, I have everything I need. Not what I want, not what I desire, but everything I need, I have it because of who God is, because God's character is this. Everything you need, I'm going to give it for you to have your best. Only God can do that. Everything you need, God said, I'm going to give it to you if you can tell me you'll have your best. Because God is interested in our better interests. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read verses 5 through 11. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It kind of ties in with our theme, trusting in the Lord. There's no one else. You know, down south, we used to say, I don't know how many of y'all used to grow up Baptist? Any of y'all grew up Baptist? Everybody grew up Baptist? I grew up Baptist. You understand that? Holy people don't tell this song up, but Baptist people used to tell this song up. I will trust in the Lord. Come on.
Casting
Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Paul resists. No, you can't resist the devil in your own power. You can't resist the devil in your own might. But if you're in the faith, you can resist the devil. Can we say hallelujah? Don't resist that fast in the faith, nor the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the Lord, we bless your name. The God of some grace, the God of a little grace, but the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have, Lord, I've been suffering for a little while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we honor you today. Lord, we just thank you for you being a precious Savior. Lord, we thank you for being closer to us than any friend ever could be. Lord, we thank you in darkness that you are our light. Lord, we thank you in hard times that you seal our joy. Lord, we thank you that when it seemed like the world was against us, Lord, you stood between us and the world and did deliver us. For that we say thank you. And Lord, today we ask you to speak to your people. Oh God, today search every heart. Lord, search every mind. Lord, know every need that's in our congregation today. And then we ask you to send the word to meet every need according to your riches and glory. And Lord, we acknowledge at this time that without you we can't do nothing. But Lord, we ask you to hear and help from the sanctuary. And for this we thank you. Can we say in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. So how many just want to just trust in the Lord till you die? Now he said you're going to have some trouble, you're going to suffer. But God, through all your suffering, God's still going to settle you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Even in hardship, God will still settle you. Our thought is going to come from the 7th verse. I'm going to read this again for you. And it's probably the whole verse is probably off the whole our message. Casting. Listen, casting all your cares on him. Why? He cares for you. That is our message today. Cast all your cares on him. Because he cares. But our message, cast all your cares on God. He cares for you. And it's almost hard to understand how so many people in these last days that have walked with God for so long have walked away from God, knowing that he cares for us. Amen. He cares for us. Amen. I'm going to break this down a little bit, but let us go. I want to read one other portion of scripture from Acts, the 17th chapter, and we're going to start the 24th verse. I didn't put that one on there, but can you pull it up, Sister Alexis? Acts, the 17th chapter. It's so important. He said, casting all your cares. What kind of God do we serve? God can say cast the things you can't handle. A lot of times, this is a mistake that we often make. The stuff we think we can handle, we try to do it on our own. But the scripture said cast all. And that cast don't mean just bring it sheepishly to God. The Greek word for cast means to hurl it at him, throw it at him, give God all. Amen. So many times we even when we go to we're going to the doctors, we forget to cast it first on God. So we go to the doctors. Then after we get the report, we go to God. That's backwards. Yes. You know what I'm saying? He said cast. So you cast it to God, then you go to the doctor, because sometimes the doctors have made mistakes. But when God is in charge, you don't have to worry about the prognosis, because you went to Jehovah Rapha, and he's God, our healer. So I cast all my cares on him. Many times we need a financial blessing, and we go to the bank or some lending institution, but we forget to first cast all cares on him. So God is concerned about every aspect of your being. Your finances, your health, amen. Everything that happens to you, God's concerned. But he said, I can't help you unless you get me. So let us consider today, how many things have we tried to handle by ourselves and we forgot to cast it all on God? How many situations have we tried to fix and we didn't cast it? Can we say all?
All
is a very, that's a three-letter word. But that three-letter word encompasses the whole of you. All. So you say, well, I'm not going to bother God with little stuff. God said, you got to give me everything.
Yes.
You know, you with me? Cash.
All.
Say, well, God, I'm going to go down the street and do this. But you might want to talk to God because on your way down the street, there might be some stuff that God don't want you to be in.
Amen.
And he might redirect you another way.
Amen.
So that's why we have to learn to cast all. And then Proverbs 3, I believe, verse 4 or 5 says, trust in the Lord with
all
your heart and lean not to your
own
and some of your way.
All
listen, God's word is so plain and clear in a few ways. In the ways you don't think you can understand. He says, what then?
All
your ways. Just stop. I know we're going to get to redirect our path, but our question today is how many of us acknowledge him in all of our ways? That this is the devil's trick. This is his trick. When you get to your worst problem, you need God out. That's the devil's trick. When you get in your worst trouble, that's when you need God the most. But when you get, you know, when you get to those low moments, you just don't feel like looking at nobody, talking to nobody, looking at nobody. You just, I ain't gonna even talk to God. That's the devil's trick. Because you're supposed to acknowledge him in
all
your ways. Amen. Well, I've been doing this for a long time. Y'all just stay with me. I got all some of my notes in my mind, so I'm just gonna go with the minute. I've been doing this all my life, so I don't need to acknowledge God because I know what to do. He said, acknowledge him in what? Well, why would you acknowledge God in all your ways? Because only he can direct our path. He said, well, what's the problem with not acknowledging God? He said, be not wise in your own eyes. You have to depart, right? You need to be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. So when you're doing stuff your way, God's not involved with that. In Jeremiah, the 10th chapter and 23rd verse says, oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in him. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So why do I need to know the Lord in all my ways? Because I don't know how to direct my own ways. So this is the devil's trick. The next time he tricks you, tell him you're a liar, see? How many know he was a liar from the beginning? Abide in the truth. Anything that you hear that's contrary to the word of God is a lie. And the Bible says the one thing we know about God, God cannot lie. God will not lie. So in your situation, God said, cast all your cares on me. What cares have we not cast on God? Amen? Think about it. What cares have we not cast? Well, I've been doing it this long this way. Well, let me tell you, David in the 31st Psalm, the 30th chapter, David had gone to Ziklag and he was fleeing from Saul. How many know David was a warrior? David, listen, David consumed every enemy in his path. Nothing was able to stand before David. From Goliath on, God was with David and David destroyed every enemy. But when the Amalekites came and burnt Ziklag, which is where David and his men and his family were. The Bible said when David and his men came back to Ziklag, they found that the Amalekite had burned the city and taken everything they possessed. Now, David showed us what we have to do when you're in your worst trial. Because the Bible said that David's men spake of stoning him. They were so overwhelmed. They were so pressed down. They were so troubled. They wanted to stone him. The scripture said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Then after he got the right mind, then he said, Lord, he acknowledged God. Well, why did David acknowledge God? David, all he did was go into his just put on the sword and went to battle. Because David wanted to know from God, do you want me to go this way or not? I lost everything. I lost my wife. I lost my children. I lost my possession. I don't even have a city, God. And I might right now and say, listen, you know what? I gotta go take care of business. You know how you are. I gotta take care of business. I know you gotta say amen, but that's how we are. Right? When things ain't right, I gotta take care of business and I gotta take care of my way. But David was at the lowest point in his life. David encouraged himself. He said, Lord, I'm encouraged. He said, now I know you already told me no enemy can stand before me, but he acknowledged the Lord. He said, Lord, shall I pursue? And the Lord said, pursue and recover all. But he acknowledged God. My question is, how many of us keep doing the same thing over and over without acknowledging God? Because we've done it so many times before, we already know the answer. But David acknowledged the Lord. And God said, pursue. And just to let you know, David was a mighty warrior and a mighty king. But every battle David went into, he acknowledged God first. Amen? Every battle. There were some battles God told him, pursue him in the front. There were other battles God said, be circled, come in behind them. One of the battles is, now, you have to have a real relationship with God for this one. You gotta have a real relationship with God for this one. Because David said, Lord, shall I be pursued? God said, don't pursue them. He said, I want you to set up an ambush behind them. Then I don't want you to move till you hear the wind blowing through the myrtle trees. Right? And that would have been us. He said, Lord, what in the world did the wind blowing through the myrtle trees have to do with me having a victory? But David got to the point where he acknowledged the Lord and because he acknowledged God, God was able to direct his path. Why? Because the way of man is not in him. It's not in man that walketh to direct himself. Acts the 17th chapter and the 24th verse. God that made the world and that means he made every last one of us. Who did it? God did. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temples made with hands, neither is worshiped with men's hands, as though he needed. God said, listen, I'm blessing you, but I don't need nothing you got. Because everything you got, he said, I loaned it to you. Everything you have is mine. He said, the earth is mine and all the cattle of thou field. The earth is the what? Lord and the everything you have, whatever your possessions are, they don't belong to you anyway. They all belong to God. Amen? He said, that's all he needed, everything, seeing that he given to all life and breath and who does this? God. So we're here today not because of I work so hard and I got it. No, you're here because God gives you first, he gives you life. Then he gives you breath. Then he adds all the other things. That's why it says in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things, he said, I will. Now, when you're seeking a kingdom, that means there's someone that's higher authority. So what God is saying, he said, seek the highest authority and his righteousness. He said, and everything else. Let's go back to this. Verse 26 says, they have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined the time before. God knows every last one of our end. Only God knows before appointed and the bounds of our habitation that they should. God created us to seek him. God created us to search after him. So in our lowest points, why do we go away from the one that knows everything we need and knows the end from the beginning? That's the devil. You know, the old cartoon, you got the angel of God on this side and the devil on this side. Both of them are whispering. Right? Don't tell me, I think you do that one time. Right? God's on one side whispering, the devil's on the other side. But the question is, which voice are we listening to? Are we listen to the one that was a liar from the beginning and didn't abide in the truth? Or do we listen to the God that created and made us? That gives us life, He gives us breath, and everything else. I choose to listen to God. How many know, you know, wealth, position, and fame has a voice? But that voice cannot be louder than the voice of God. Success has a voice. But that success can't have a louder voice than God. The voice that we listen to has to be the voice of God. Can we say hallelujah? He said, verse 28, for in Him, well, why are you going to God? Because, can we say, in Him?
In Him.
Well, why are you going to church? I'm in Him.
Yeah.
In Him we live, we move, and we... The only reason any of us today are here today is because we are in Him.
Yeah.
He gives us life. He gives us breath. He is our very being. So why would we cast all of our cares upon God? Because He gives us life. He gives us breath. And He has everything else. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. So why wouldn't I seek after God? Why wouldn't I seek after the one that has made me? Because the Bible says He made all things. And the scripture says in John the first chapter, without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the... The only reason any of us have life and light is because of Jesus. He loves us. He cares for us. So in our times of need, why don't we just throw it to Him?
Yes.
Hey, y'all do this with me. Y'all, I'm happy y'all wake up. Y'all grab your hand close to your hand. Y'all come on, y'all do this. I don't do this. Just do it today. Real lean way back. Now throw it to Him.
Yes.
And don't go get it back. Whatever that thing is, don't go get it back. Say, well, how do I know? Because you can trust in the Lord. You can't trust me because I don't have no power. But the Lord has all power in heaven and in earth. And He said, just for you skeptics, I got power under the earth too. I got all power. It's not just in heaven, not just in earth, but it's under the earth. That's why at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
God,
He gave it for you.
Right.
The most dearest thing to God
He gave it for you. Do you think you can do anything that his blood will cover? So the devil's lying. Well, you messed up. God doesn't love you. God loves you.
Yes, he does.
He loves every last one of us. So stop listening to the devil's lie. Well, I messed up. I sinned. God said, well, just come to me, confess it and forsake it, and you have mercy. So when the devil, listen, I don't like this guy. He messes with too much. I'm going to tell you what he does, okay? So you mess up, and then you stay home. You don't want to talk to nobody. Don't want to get it right with the leadership of the church. Because if you confess it and confess it and forsake it, you have mercy.
Yes.
So when you sin and mess up, the devil says, stay home. You stay home.
Yes.
Then you don't have mercy.
Right.
Then on top of the fact you don't have mercy, you have a guilty conscience.
Yes.
And that guilty conscience is chewing your life. You can't get help from the only real help, and that's God. So you either get in some kind of addiction or some kind of a bad relationship. Because you're trying to get out. Come to God.
Yes.
Let him fix it. He said, come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I give you
rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you shall find
rest for your soul.
You shall find
rest for your soul.
The answer is rest for your soul. So my question is, if your soul don't have rest, you've not been coming to God. Amen. If you are all bottled up in your anxieties, you don't have trust in God. Can I just finish this? If you're all mine,
yes.
I know somebody said, I thought you were finished. But I ain't. All right, I got 5 minutes. I'm going to try and do it in 5 minutes. Unless the Lord say longer. Y'all already know. Y'all won't pay me that much anyway, so can't take what I know yet. So I ain't worried about the pay. See, a lot of those churches, those preachers have to worry about what they get paid a lot. So when they mess up, they say, listen, we get somebody else to take your place. Nobody ain't gonna take my place because nobody ain't gonna get paid when I get paid. When the wife says, stop that, stop that. All right, let's go back to 1 Peter. So we're dealing with casting all of our care upon God. Now, I'm not going to even go back. Let's go back to the 5th verse for a moment, all right? So we're casting all of our cares on God. There is a mindset that we have to be predisposed to go to God. A mindset. We cannot go to God all proud and haughty. We can't be a Saul and say, stay on, like we think we've done everything right. They're not righteous. All of us have issues. All of us have challenges. The Bible says every sin and transgression receives a just recompense. When sin is when you willfully do it. Transgression is when you do it without knowledge. But it still has a recompense. There's still something you have to pay. Well, I didn't know. God said, well, your penalty is less, but you still got to pay for it because every sin and transgression receives a just recompense and reward. Verse 5 read, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you be something one to another. That means let your life be so arranged and aligned by God that you do what's right.
Amen.
Submission. Right? Let God align your life. You know, so, well, I'm not going to submit to that one. I'll submit to this and I won't submit to that one. You submit yourselves what? Why? So we can't select who we're going to submit to. Amen? Because I want God's favor. I want God's blessing. So I want to submit myself to them. He says, subject and also be submitted to. Ye all to be subject one to another. Be clothed with
humility.
Be clothed with humility, for God resists the
proud.
But he gave it unto the humble. And as I was studying that word for clothed, now, what are you clothing yourself with? Humility.
Right.
Humility is you put on humility like it's a garment. Amen? What is humility? This Greek word for humility means like you tie an apron on like a servant. Right? And our greatest example for that is the Lord Jesus in John the 13th chapter, when he takes, after dinner, he takes an apron, and he ties it on, and he takes a towel, and he takes water, and he washes the disciples' feet. That's our sign of humility. That's what that really represents. Be clothed with humility. That means you have to have the same predisposed mind that the Lord had. He said, I'm not too high to serve those that are below me. I'm not too mighty to serve. So when you're clothed with humility, remember Peter said, Lord, no, don't wash my hand, don't wash my feet. The Lord said, if I don't wash you, you don't have no part with me. So Peter said, Lord, well, wash everything. Wash my hand, wash my feet, wash my head. Lord, all I have to do is wash the feet. It covers everything else. That's what it means to be clothed with humility. That means you have to have a servant attitude. You have to have a servant's mind. You can't be, don't you know who I am, where I've arrived to? We have to take on the same responsibility as the Lord who showed true humility. Listen, what do you think that the Lord made you, but then he turned around and washed your feet? The Lord provides for you, and then he turned around and washed your feet. That's the example of humility that the Lord left for us. And I know all y'all ain't gonna be washing feet. Actually, part of the Lord's Supper is foot washing. We just haven't done it yet. But that's part of, because it shows humility. It shows that you're willing to be a servant. That's the Lord. The Lord said, I went from my highest height to the Lord's low to show you the example for humility. So the next time you think you're showing humility, ask, are you acting like a servant? I have you put on the servant's apron in humility. That's what humility means, all right? So we just go, let's go a little bit further. So he said, be clothed with humility, so God resists the thing, proud, but he gives it. We know that grace is God's unmerited favor. Amen. In other words, we don't deserve it, but God blesses us not because of what we've done. God blesses us because of who he is. That's why God blesses us. Well, I prayed this much last week, and I fasted, and I did this. God said, I didn't bless you because of that. I bless you because of who I am. And because of my faithfulness, I bless you. Well, I gave the church $5 million. But God won't bless you because of what you gave. God blesses you because of who he is. That is grace. It's unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to deserve it, but God blesses us because of who he is. Can we say hallelujah? So it says we ought to humble ourselves. What does it mean to be humble? Well, if you're not humble, then you become proud. If you're not humble, you don't have humility. So if, for instance, someone asks you, this is just a facetious example, so don't get caught up in it. Hey, can you go wash the toilets in the bathroom? It's just an example. I do it too. All right, I'm a servant. Yeah. Wash toilets. I don't even wash toilets at home. You're not a servant. You know what I mean? Because when you're clothed with humility, there's nothing that you want to do for God. There are no limitations that you place on God. You won't say, God, I'm above that. I'm humble. I have a spirit of humility. Amen? Now, I just want to get to our pivotal verse, which is chapter verse 7. It says, casting
all your care upon
him. As I said, all is a three-letter word. But it's everything. My question today, I can't answer for you. You can't answer for me. But the Bible says, examine yourself to see if you're in the, not in the church. A lot of people say, I'm in church today. He said, a lot of people in church. How many know the devil's in church? So God's not interested in being in church. Well, I'm on a church roll. God said, I don't want to talk about that. Well, I give my faith to give my tithes and offer God, and I'm going to talk about that. If I want to know if you're in the faith or not. Because if you're in the faith, you'll do everything else. Amen. You understand? If you're in the faith, you'll do everything else. But you do everything else because you're not in the faith. If you're in the faith, you'll do anything else. But you do everything else because you're not in the faith. God does not recognize that. So we have to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith or not. So he says, he cares for you. Now, the word for care that he uses in this verse really means worry or anxieties. You know, somebody said, I don't have no worry, I have no anxiety. Then you might have the flesh. Everybody that's in the flesh have worries and anxieties. He said, casting all of your worries. And I made a very good illustration for worry. Amen. He said, worry means that you are divided within yourself. Worry, you are splitting within yourself. You are divided. You don't know what to go, which way to go, which direction to take. You have a split personality. Worry is like driving with your foot on the brake and the gas at the same time. You're not going nowhere. That's what worry is. So the devil gets us going nowhere because we won't cast all of our cares on him. Well, why would I cast my cares on God? Because he that cares me in every delicate, intricate part of your life, God is concerned. God is intricately, he's intimately concerned about every aspect of your life. So why do I cast all my cares? Because he cares for me. Even when you don't know what's happening, God says, I have something to protect you, and you don't even know what's happening. Amen. I remember years ago, I know God protected me years ago when I first came to New York, when I was trying to get out, but God didn't let me go. I said, I was trying to get out. Oh, my wife said, if you would have got out, you would have met me. I was trying to get out, but God didn't let me go. But when my first time, one of the first time I ever came to Albany was when the Christian bookstore in Albany was robbed. And then when it robbed, it just so happened that the individual killed both of the people in the store. Jesus. The same time I was coming through Albany, God protects us and keeps us. So I was sitting at the Greyhound bus station. I'm saying when God is involved, because he could have turned the other way. Because many of you all see Lemuel Smith, he looks like what I used to look like. That's why I'm wearing a beard and all that stuff. I don't want to look like nobody else. I want to look like me. But I was sitting in the Albany bus station, reading a book. But as I said, I never do anything and I'm not an observant to everything that's happening about me. And as I was reading my book, I saw these men coming from everywhere around me. I was like, because I didn't know what had happened. I didn't know what had taken place. Then all of a sudden they approached me, the FBI, the this FBI, the that FBI, the other FBI, and everything else. It's like maybe 15 or 20 of them. They asked me, who are you? I forgot who I was. I'm not lying. I said, do you have any identification? No, I don't have nothing. I couldn't figure out why the FBI is after me. Then I finally realized, yeah, I do have identification. I do have stuff. Thank God I had a bus ticket to show that I just came in from Skidmore College a few minutes early. Because they said, oh, well, we're sorry, sir. You fit the description of a person that just murdered two people at the Christian bookstore around the corner. So if God had not been involved, how many innocent people in jail today? He keeps us in all of our ways. He protects us in all of our ways. So at the end, they said, oh, we're so sorry. I couldn't hardly sit there. I was shaking so bad. I said, well, anytime I can be your officer. I couldn't wait to get out of all. You know what I'm saying? But because I cast my cares on God. Even then I used to pray and read three times a day.
Amen.
Now what happened if God did provide a way for me to get out? And I fit his description. Because back then they didn't have DNA. Right? So all they relied on was the testimony of others. Mm-hmm. Only God protected and kept me there. That's why I put all my right. I give him all my cares because I could not have made a way for me to escape that I could bear. But God made a way for me to escape. So it's important that we cast all of our on him. So even though somebody, how many know everybody around here got a twin? That looks just like you. More than twins. Seriously, some of us got more than twins. So who's not to say that you could be in a bad position, a condition now because of mistaken identity? But God. Amen. It wasn't because you were so honest and so righteous, but God was directing your steps. What happened if I didn't? But if I wanted to get a soda and walked up the street to Colson, which was right past the Christian bookstore, and got some soda and chips, and walked past the Christian bookstore, somebody would say, hey, we saw him right there. That was him. But God.
Amen.
When you acknowledge God, God directs your steps. Because I was only in college and 18 years old, so how many know college students like to eat? But God had me stay there and read the book instead of going to get food. So I didn't have mistaken identity. Every last one of us, God has protected us in that way. Every last one of us. Every last one of us could be in a very, very undesirable position right now. But because God directed our steps, who would serve a God like this? So that's why you should cast. Because God said, listen, even when the enemy comes against you, I'll lift up a standard against you. Even when they lie and deny, he said, I won't allow it to happen because no weapon formed will prosper. Why? Because I gave God all my cares, as we said. We're living a very dangerous time. Like I read, unfortunately, the story of a young, as the elders and ministers come forward, a young rookie police lady was simply, I don't know how many of you saw the story, she was writing up a accident report from a car accident. A guy rode by on a bicycle and ambushed her. Shot her, killed her on the spot. Right? In the case of a young 7-year-old girl that was killed, sitting with her mother in the car, it was a case of, they said, mistaken identity. That's why we serve God. Because he's a wall of protection all around us. We serve God because God is a keeper. So I don't know what anybody came in today to church with, but can you give him all of your troubles? Give him all of your concerns? Give him all of your missing care? What have you brought into church? Don't take it back out those doors with you. Leave it at the altar. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I give you rest. And we ought to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we are about to obtain mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. If you're in a time of need, don't run from God. It is time to run to God. Let Jesus fix your problems. Cast all of them. When you leave today, if you hear something unforeseen or something happened that you weren't prepared for, Lord, I can't change it anyway. So give it to him, Elder Gibbs.